Baby, you like that, don't you? Huh? Oh, you got first birds out there tonight. Singing on our one of our latest songs on our new album. We don't have a name for the album yet. We're going to call it Steve Barrett's Rockathon, I think. welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, a very fast-growing show, I might add. November 18th. We don't eat turkeys around here. And it's 2010. Buddy Boo is here. And Bella Boo is here also. Hello, Bella Boo. What are you doing, honey? Now, Bella Boo is here. She has a tendency, because she's hormonal, to give you a bite. So therefore, she's in the back, but she's right here. She's up on closer. And, of course, we got Buddy Boo. Buddy Boo is actually more popular. He gets more fan mail than I do. Everybody wants to, see our dames. Girl there. She's right there. Anyway, and I think Steve Barrett is out there in the ozone, but...
Yeah.
How's everything in the ozone?
Everything's pretty good. I was watching Bella Bird, and it's very interesting. He was looking over your shoulder straight at her.
Yeah, Buddy likes Bella Boo.
Yes, no question about that.
She's back there. And I don't know, you can zoom these cameras in, but I'm not very good at Zoom. I don't do the Zoomathron real well, you know. Hey, you got your camera on, too, obviously.
Sure do.
Well, we got a lot of people. Put out, you have the numbers to call in, because a lot of people, I think, want to talk tonight. They got beat.
Yes. Hold on. I got the numbers here. Just give me a second to get a hold of them. How's everything with you, Fred? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Having a big fight with my partner over the Laguna Beach Temple house.
Really?
You remarried. Yeah, I was supposed to have possession of the house in 91, and... because her husband died back in 79, we didn't get the contract finished up. But he and I had done many thousands of dollars in projects on a handshake, and the house was done on a handshake. Of course, he doesn't recognize handshakes. So I'm having a big legal battle, which I'll share later. But it's the way these people are. You know, you spend a lot of time with them, and the time that her husband died, I spent a hell of a lot of time with her, and then she remarried, and... like, screw you, you know, so.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no big deal. A temple that thousands of people came through, it's just sacred, turning it into a house project that, it's just ridiculous. Other than that, everything's really cool. About projector energy going on right now, big time projector. This is the time of year the projector really works.
You're not kidding.
Yeah, it's really working right now. And with that, I want to have a drag race here.
Okay.
Remember these?
Do I?
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
I beat you, Steve. You were a second behind me.
Let me put out some phone numbers here. Toll-free number is 888-815-9756. Again, that's 888-815-9756. In U.S. and Canada, it's 1-530-327-7602. Again, 1-530-327-7602.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be doing, I forget the name of that company. Here it is. Go to UFOEncounterLive.com. UFOEncounterLive.com. I'm taping a show on December 11th for 2 hours.
Really?
That's the Saturday, and it'll probably air that Saturday night. It'll be promoted. And that's a network like George Norrie and Coast to Coast. They've got many, many affiliates.
Right.
That. And also, we're probably moving into a show. I'm being sponsored to do another big show that'll be on the air, and I'm going to try to get you as a sidekick on that show, if you want.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that'll be a half an hour a week till it gets going, but it's a big platform with a lot of
wonderful
affiliates, and they've already offered me a contract. We've been negotiating it, so.
Wonderful.
More of Dr. Bell on the air coming up. Lots more.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that's how it goes. You know, there's always a couple stupid things that go on in your life. There's always three times as many wonderful things going on.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bella, though, she's still back there. I don't know how to zoom in on her. She's giving herself a little scratch now.
She's a beautiful bird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ever since she started laying eggs last year,
uh-huh.
You can't put her on your shoulder because if she decides that she wants to do something and you're not up for it, she's going to give you a nice bite.
Gotcha.
And that's what these birds do once they become hormonal, the females. The males don't do that.
The females do,
little
huh?
Buddy over here, you know. But they most of two-thirds of the week, they sleep together.
Uh-huh.
But see, my birds are not caged. They live in an area where they have cages that they live in, but they're free to walk around and on the floor and, you know, in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
And do whatever
mm-hmm.
they want. So he'll go over and sleep with Princess, the African Grey, or he'll come down to the bedroom and sleep with me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these birds are just like doing what, I don't believe in caging animals.
Right.
And we haven't done that in years. And they don't run away. They don't go too far from their cages. They stay within a close range. But, you know, if you're eating something on the breakfast nook, they might come over and take a bite of it, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, they're
wow.
really fun. They're like little kids.
Yeah.
He's Buddy, I always put him on my right shoulder, and he always goes
yeah.
to the left shoulder.
Yeah.
I guess he wants to control. That's the controlling side. If I do.
He's biting your hat.
Yeah, he is. He's biting your hat.
Fred, there's something very interesting happening with the projectors. They're a lot more powerful, as you say, but I've been noticing on the left-hand side of my room, if I'm standing actually on the right-hand side of my room, the projector on the right-hand side is firing a lot of light.
That's
in
right.
Other
you
words,
got
it's
four
just,
of them.
Yeah, I got four of them up in the room, and one is just, you know, blasting light, which is nice to see.
Yeah, which direction is the number four pointing to?
I think it's east.
Yeah, you know why? Because that's where the individual that I'm having this conflict with right now lives, in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, and when I've invoked the projector energy to take care of this problem, which really isn't a problem, they've created it, and it's working. You know, I've been wearing mine programming. I guess when you wear one of these, any projector transmitter
mm-hmm.
in any direction, in the direction that it needs to go, automatically starts. It's very interesting you bring that up. But,
yeah.
Well, you know, but it's pointing east on New York from where you're at. That would be like Europe.
Well, it's definitely facing east. I mean, I know it's facing east, but the light is very strong. And
yeah.
The projectors are very powerful in the room. And also the flamethrowers are going to town.
Yeah, we're adding another Devastar to our house out here. And the flamethrowers, I can't get them built as fast as we can sell them. That's the big problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few in stock right now, but I don't have a whole set. And I wanted to put a set up in here. I've got a set over in Laguna, but I want to put a set up here. And haven't been able to do that yet. And I know that we're going to need a bunch this fall. I just can feel it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're hot, Fred. For some odd reason, they're hot, and they're really working. So I've got the black one on the left-hand side of the room and the white one on the right-hand side of the room, and people are noticing the energy. I mean, it's just incredible. So
they didn't notice it?
Well, they've noticed it, but I moved them around, Fred. I moved them to a different spot in the room, and they really started to flow with energy. So,
yeah, you got to kind of find the right spot for them.
Oh, yeah. And it's hot. I mean, it's really, really hot. So, yeah, everything's working. Everything's buzzing pretty good.
Yeah, I've been
really happy with them.
I've been waiting for a prototype. It's another receptor, the fourth one, supposedly five.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that produces those is incredibly slow, and it's 6 months overdue. Actually, it was last Christmas I designed all five of them.
Yeah.
Now we're coming up to Christmas, and we've got three on the market, two in the waiting line. So that shows you how these people that are unconscious but are good craftsmen, but they just are unconscious, perform.
Yeah.
And it's more business to them because of the three that we came out with, we're selling the heck out of them.
Mm-hmm.
People are loving them because it's time for them to have them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way that goes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's a thing called H.R. 510 going through the vote in the Senate right now, where these chemical companies, like Monsanto, have control and want to make it illegal for you to grow any form of tomato or cabbage in your backyard.
Really?
Yeah. It's happening right now, H.R. 510. And it's really interesting that kind of a thing is tabled. They want people to live on chemicals so they can take them
good
over
Lord.
And become empty souls.
Mm-hmm.
Really
mm-hmm.
interesting looking in to this. Oh, also I want to announce that a lot of you listeners out there are Rays of Truth .tv listeners. I'm in the process of taking that website over because the guy that was running it, Marco, failed to put so much beautiful, brand new, every day, once a month information up that it was supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and they're paying as a subscription for a service they're not getting. And so we're going to change that website over, and we're going to control it. It's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the process of making that, bringing that. That site should have thousands of people on it right now.
That's cool.
And people are so disappointed because they sign up for it, and once they get the information off of it, which takes them about a month or two, there's no more stuff new. He hasn't done anything on it since January.
Yeah.
And so that problem's being rectified.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happens when you have partners. You know, having a partner, it never works. Because one of them, somebody wants a free ride. Somebody busts their butt, and I've had partnerships before, and every one of them, including this house in Laguna, you know, I did all the maintenance and taxes on that thing for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the person doesn't even want to give up their half. I mean, it's just the way this planet is geared, and these poor people, bless them, because they are lost. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? To behave this way?
Mm-hmm.
They are lost souls. And I find, especially when you deal in the energy fields that we do, that their true colors come up pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. I've cleared that house quite a few times underground. You know, some people have laid some energy on you, and I had to go and clear that out a few times. So I know about the energy.
Right now to get their energy out of it, we're going to have to do some repairs on it because it's deteriorated once again because of the solder. I got to fix the porch and the roof again. Put three roofs on it already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just they only last about 10 years. Then you got to put another one on, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a flat roof with a ledge around it. And so water wants to sit in that ledge. Whereas the house next door, which is built by the same contractor in a similar model, doesn't
mm-hmm.
have that ledge. So, so the water doesn't get trapped in the corner and leak down into the wall. That's all.
Well, a question is, Fred, could you get a tin roof? Would a tin roof work on there?
You can put anything on there, but it has to be the design of the roof has to be changed because it has a ledge around it. If you knock the ledge off, you could use anything. But the problem's always the same. The water goes down into the ledge. There's two little drains in the front and the back.
Mm-hmm.
They get
mm-hmm.
clogged up. The water sits there and it runs down through the walls.
Yeah.
That's been the problem since day one with that place.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, and then, of course, you get the termites. You know, and most of those houses have been tented, but I didn't want to tent it because they had birds in there.
Right.
Took them out now, but I mean, that was a real problem. It's just places had been, well, it only cost $64,000 when it was new. That's not very much money.
Right.
For, you know, 1,500 square foot house.
Mm-hmm.
With an ocean view. Say, if it were in beautiful shape, completely remodeled, it would be worth $1 million or more. But
wow.
to make it like that, Laguna Beach, all the houses on that neighborhood have been torn down to the basic. They have a code, so you get around, you know, OSHA and the people
right.
that patrol the in other words, if you're so close to the ocean, you have a separate governmental group that gives you hell.
Okay.
You can't tear the house down and fix it. What you do is you tear it down to one doorway, which makes it a remodel technically.
Mm-hmm.
And that house needs to go that route. It needs to go down to a doorway, and then and every house in the neighborhood, most of them have been had that done to them now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it needs that,
yeah.
And that's going to cost at least $100,000. And so before I spend that kind of money on it, I want to get possession of it because the partner I have is a slumlord anyway, it seems. So I have to get this resolved, and it's been a problem. But that's typical of what goes on in real estate. You know, I mean, it's you don't want partners unless you got it laid out in contractual form.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
yeah.
My partner died before we could get our contract done.
Okay.
And the successor of that took advantage of it completely.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll get that off the table. I told you about the show we're going to be doing, right?
Yes.
December 11th.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Baby just having some fun here. So a lot of people, they have questions. I mean, I can't believe people don't call in as much as they do because now's the time to talk to us because I charge about $400 an hour to talk to people when they want a consultation, and it's
yeah.
free on the network.
Right.
I have people call me. I had a guy call me the other day. Well, I don't feel like talking on the air. So I give him 15 minutes and got, you know, I just couldn't go any further because it's not fair to me. I have a life to live too.
Of course, of course.
I offer my services if people want them. If they don't want them, that's fine.
I've got a lot of phone calls that I've been returning, people calling me about projectors. And matter of fact, one of the guys just talked to, I think, Mikhail today, and he'll be calling me tonight, so I'll be able to talk to him. He's been a good client for years, and he was away for, I think, a year, so he's going to give me a call tonight. He wants to talk about some other stuff. So,
what does he do, anyway? Travel?
He's an oil rigger.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So he's a very interesting guy. He goes out on these rigs for a year at a time, 6 months at a time. So
well,
he buys a lot of stuff from
you.
Excuse me?
Who's his employer?
Oh, I have no idea, Fred.
Ask him about the BP thing, because if he works out on those rigs, what they put in the news and what's real is probably two different things.
Yeah.
I think, 11 people died on that rig? And I heard all kinds of things going on about how BP was trying to bypass safety regulations for the quicker enjoyment of pulling the dinosaur blood out of the 5 miles out of the below of the ground.
Right.
And bottom line was that they violated a lot of their own procedures and U.S. environmental procedures, and that's why that rig blew up and down below with all that pressure and shoved the well over and caught it on fire.
Wow.
I used to go to, there's a thrifty company out here that you go in and you get a gasoline like 15, 20, 30 cents cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in a small store. I forget the name of the darn store. I'll remember it in a minute. And I went in there the other day to get the gas, and I saw a BP. And I said, nope. There's a bunch of companies around. I think Mobil's one of them that's non-Arabic and non-BP. Mm-hmm. And I go there. I try to take my business to the non-Eastern oil suppliers.
Right.
There are
right.
some, you know, genuine U.S. oil suppliers for the same prices. I think we should boycott the Middle East and the BP companies.
Yeah.
ARCO. It's ARCO. You've seen ARCO, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay, that's BP.
Huh.
Yeah, and as a result of that oil spill, they have since then made billions of dollars again.
Yes, that's incredible.
But they destroyed thousands of jobs along the Gulf Coast with people that are very humble. You know, they've destroyed so much, and they don't even compensate for the fishermen and the people and the workers that, you know, those people have to fight to get a compensation which might amount to a few billion dollars, but so what? They've already made more than that this year since the oil spill.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. The there's so much greed. You know, I remember when Mobil or the other oil companies were making $40 billion in a quarter. I mean...
Oh, yeah, you know, all of them were. Standard
you know,
oil.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean,
oh.
You know...
Yeah.
And to slight somebody, you know, I mean, they could give away $1 billion and not even think about it.
No, they won't even notice it.
No.
Those guys, the CEOs, get paid $200 or $300 million a year. They're one,
That's
one,
incredible.
Yeah. And even when they had the recession and they all said, oh, we're raising money, you know, a couple of years ago, they went out and bought more company jets with government money. It was a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now the Arabs are doing that. They're buying silver Rolls Royces and gold Rolls Royces. And, you know, they have no other way of spending money. Why don't they educate their people?
Yeah. Well, they got a building over there now in Dubai. It's the tallest building in the world. Taller than any other building by 1,000 feet. It's 2,797 feet tall.
Wow.
And it's in Dubai. That's, that's two-thirds of a mile high.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you got all that flat land, okay, all that desert out there, even in Dubai, right outside, you go outside Dubai and it's flat-out desert, why do you need to build a building straight up 1,000 feet higher than anything on Earth?
Yeah.
Ego, greed. You know what I mean?
Of course.
What do they want, a great view of the desert from a higher altitude?
Yeah.
What is cool, though, in one of the hotels over there, they have a ski resort built in. I kind of think that's kind of cool.
Really?
I would pull something like that off. I guess I got that much greed. But, you know, it allows the common citizens, which have access to it, to at least go skiing. Because
yeah.
It's not a common thing in Saudi Arabia to go skiing.
Right.
Yeah, so they have a ski resort built in one of their hotels.
That's,
but in Japan, they got one at the Neptune Hotel where you enter with a submarine. It's under,
really?
Under the water, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. You can have some fun like that, but putting a hotel up a mile above the ground for the view or whatever.
Yeah.
Just to prove you can do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to be in that hotel. Imagine if... How many elevators do you have to take? I mean, like in New York City, sometimes you take three elevators to get to the top of something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like elevators when you're going down. You can when you get the button, the timing just right, you push the button, it goes down, you can jump, and you're weightless for a few seconds. I really like that.
Mm.
Got to find the right hotels that have the fast elevators. you got to get those elevators that go to 0 to 60 in 1 second.
That's got to be quite a ride.
Yeah, I there was one in New York. We used to go around when I was really young, like 40 years ago, and we'd go into different hotels to find those elevators.
Yeah.
And we'd find one, and that's the one we'd play in all day, you know?
Yeah.
The elevators are fun.
Energy seems to be really strong, too, Fred. The energy really seems to be coming through. I know my hands get very hot now. And almost to a point where they're burning.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
You know?
I like hot hands.
Well, that's what's going on with me. It's almost to a point where they're almost too hot.
Oh, put them on ice cubes. See how many ice cubes you can hold for how long.
Boy, I don't know. I'm glad the water's cold because I wash my hands. Like I run them for like 30 seconds under the faucet.
So you've been doing a lot of healing lately?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Doing an awful lot of healing. And it seems to be stronger, so I'm just hanging in there and doing whatever I can do.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the other projects that we've been working on is we got people are starting to want the Devastars again. Not the Devastars, but the Microstars.
Okay.
You have a Devastar, right? The Devastar?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to put one in this house, the other end of it, because it's kind of big.
Yeah.
Sometimes the star orb just can't handle all the energy.
Yep.
And way on one wing down here, you can feel it where it needs to have a Devastar, which is actually an extension of the popular star orb.
You know, it's so interesting with the equipment in my room. I've got a Bose Wave radio. and I have CDs, and I'll be playing one, and we'll be talking or discussing about energy, and all of a sudden it'll start skipping and jumping, and I got to change the channel, and then we start talking about something that's more appropriate in terms of energy. It'll stop skipping. It's really crazy.
Yeah, Bose is pretty good stuff. My friend Steven Eberbaugh actually developed a lot of the sound systems for the Bose people.
Really?
But yeah, he developed it for himself, but it got stolen. You know, they kind of pirated his work. He had a company called DKW after he left NASA that he started. It did really well in audiophile speakers and that. He's working on the Q-band machine.
How is he?
Huh? He's in Ann Arbor. He's the kid that he and I built the neurostimulation gear back in the 50s that the government took.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends that long. We were in junior high together.
Yeah.
And both of us went to go for the government before we graduated. He ended up, where's the college did he go? He went to MIT.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
But he was already under the government supervision, and I went out to the Esopi Institute. And then we both were at NASA. And he ended up developing a lot of the spy satellites that are in use today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really wild.
So are you going to get a bird pretty soon? Do you think you need a bird?
I'd love to get a bird, Fred. But right now I'm really trying to save for. I'd love to get.
I can get you a bird for free.
Really?
Yep. Any bird you want.
Really?
Yep. I don't know what the paperwork is. It's around here somewhere. My desk is a mess because I'm organizing photographs. Got a pile of Billy Meyer stuff here in front of me from the scene.
That would be a lot of fun to have as a bird. I have to read up on them. This is supposed to be really...
What happens is these birds live at least like 30 to 40 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They outlive their owners. And so there's a group over in Texas or Oklahoma that I've been donating money to.
Mm-hmm.
That get birds that people can't handle anymore.
Ah.
For example, there was an African gray that was abandoned in a townhouse over in, I don't know where what city it was in, but it was abandoned there. And luckily, somebody found it before it died of starvation.
Yeah.
And so it's been over there for 2 or 3, 4 years. But you can get free birds there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. About any bird you want, and you can tell me one the temperament of the bird you want and the type of bird you want, and you get it for free.
I'd love to have the bird you have on your shoulder.
You can get these eclectus.
Really?
It might not be Buddy Boo, but I mean, yeah, and these are friendly. You can change owners with these, the male eclectus.
Hmm.
A female is a little different. Bella, her original owner, had her for about 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Raised her hand, bottle fed her. Then a young woman, and then died of a heart attack.
Oh.
So she ended up back at the bird store that she was originally sold from because the daughter of the woman took her back there, and then Mikkel and I found her, and we brought her home.
Oh.
Yeah. So nice. Bella Boo is what they call an orphan bird.
Mm.
Buddy Boo was just brand new when I found him. And he hadn't been known by anybody, and I just grabbed him.
Oh.
But the bottom line was he still had to sit in the store after he came from the breeder, you know, where they breed him.
Mm-hmm.
He had to wait a whole month for dad because I was traveling to the East Coast and stuff in those days.
Yeah.
So I just paid his room and board and bought him. And then after a month of owning him and not getting to see him, I brought him home.
That's great.
And he's just a one-owner bird now.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. He's a good boo. He just loves that. He loves to do the shows. And
yeah.
He knows if a week goes by and he doesn't do a show and get on the camera and see himself, he gets crazy. He starts thumping his beak on his cage and running all around and just acts weird. But as soon as I'm serious. This bird knows the shows. He's quiet. You know, the last couple shows, he's been quiet. He hasn't been interrupted too much. Yeah, he likes the shows.
He puts his beak in your mouth to give you a kiss. That's nice.
Or clean your teeth, you know, one or the other. They're better than toothbrushes, I'll tell you.
How's your 58 Chevy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've seen pictures of it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's sitting out there. I've actually driven it twice now. It came with a quarter of a tank of gas, and it still has a quarter of a tank of gas.
Wow.
And I have it covered up, and we pop the lights down, and it's beautiful, and it's sitting out there, and I have no time to fool with it. That's
typical. I put my Cobra away.
Yeah. You have to put them away, and then next summer you'll bring it out again.
Yep. Be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I look forward to driving the old 50. Oh, I'm taking that motor out at 327.
Right. You're putting a 409 in there?
I'm looking for one now. Looking for a 409? I had one I found on eBay I was going to get, but I couldn't find the right numbers for the head. You know, the bottom of it was the passenger carburetor. You don't want to buy, you buy a 409, you get the block number and the head number, and you don't want a truck motor because they're only like 200 and some horsepower, you know?
Yeah.
And the old 348s were more than that, the 3.2s. They were like 350 horsepower.
Right.
A lot more torque.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for a 425 horse, 409, or a Z11 will be fine.
Boy, a Z11, that's a tough engine to find. The Z11 head you can find once in a while.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I had a guy, the guy that bought my 6209 put Z11 heads on there and turned down to the, like, 11.3. He went from 13 to 11.3.
Oh, yeah. For 2-inch valves, 2.5 inch.
Oh, yeah. Made a big difference.
2.25 inch valve. Yeah, you know, I mean, you can buy aftermarket heads, but who wants that? Because he's probably getting 450 out of her, 475. And you got, what did he do for the intake manifold? That's the hard piece to find too. Did he get that too?
He bought the heads and he bought the intake manifold, and I think he used the same dual quads that were on the 409.
Yeah, a pair of Carter AFBs.
The Carter AFBs, right?
Yeah,
but I'm pretty well sure that he bought the. Because the heads on the Z11 are much, it's not that they were much different, they were just bigger.
Well, they're bigger, they got more volume, and they got way bigger valves. And that was the beginning of the, you know, when the 396s came out, they had the square port and the oval port.
Right.
And the square port is what everybody wanted, because when the 396 first came out in 65, along 409 was ended in 65, and the 396 came out in the letter after July.
Right.
Hello?
Oval we got somebody on the phone. Hello?
Ah, hello. This is Dominic from London.
Oh, hi, Dominic.
How's everything going over there?
Oh, fine. Yes, it's sort of, yes, everything is lovely in London. I was just thinking that the photograph of the Andromedan in the Grove, you know, I've got on my computer but I've been tuning in as much as I could over the last months into it, and I think it had a very strange effect on me. In that, as soon as I first had it on there, I started finding myself mapping out all the pyramids in China on Google Earth. And then it led me...
Oh, did you do Google Earth on the place?
Sorry?
Did you do Google Earth on the Grove?
No, but it sort of, you know, I got the photograph that you sent me.
Okay.
But it just, for some reason, it inspired me to map out all the pyramids in China, and then sort of led me to discover one that's 2 kilometers wide.
Yeah.
And all these weird things in China that, I don't know, it's a bizarre place. There's a kind of... 15-kilometer-wide hexagon shape there, too, and I can't understand that either. And there's a mountain that's pentagonal-shaped. And, you know, it's something I'm trying to work out how it's connected with Andromedan energy. So it's like, you know, I've kind of developed this sort of mapping out ability using intuition to sort of hunt down all these pyramids. And then it kind of led me to the Mars the Mars sitting on Google Earth.
Right.
And, you know, Richard Hoagland, he's released a book, Dark Missions, where he briefly mentions, in the updated version of the book, he talks about this Mars city that he found in the fall in Hellas Basin. And an Andromeda came to me and kind of set me off to kind of start mapping out all these various things in this city. And it is totally bizarre. I keep finding all these statues and sphinxes and whatever else, and all these buildings. And that's just kind of blown my brain for the last few months.
Architectural similarities. That's what's taught in these, you know, like the Masons teach those things.
Mm-hmm.
Freemasons. So you're kind of becoming a Freemason on your own with your own studies.
Wow.
What do you think about that, Steve?
I think the Freemasons are really involved in a lot of stuff. Both of us are in the Freemasons, so I there's a lot in there. Fred knows is a much higher grade of Mason than I'll ever be, but they're quite interesting. But the Andromedan, you're talking about the Andromedan in the picture, aren't you, in the field?
Yes. I got it on my computer, so it's like I'm tuning in to that every day when I'm looking at it.
If they want to make contact with you, they're going to make contact with you either through the picture or they're just going to make contact with you. And you're such an interesting mm-hmm. guy, there's no reason why they wouldn't want to make contact with you.
Mm-hmm. I think
it's wonderful that you're getting a feeling of that because you're very lucky. They don't touch on everybody, so I think that's wonderful that you're getting a feeling of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just thought I'd share that with you. Okay. And also, I mentioned some time ago, I lost my super disc thing.
Yeah.
You know, that thing like the nuclear receptor. And, I thought, my gosh, I'm going to have to buy a new one of these days. So I was kind of asking the gnomes and pixies and whatever to return it one day. And I couldn't find it around my bedroom at all. And my parents bought me a new bed, and it certainly wasn't under the old one. And then suddenly the other day I found it underneath the new bed. And it couldn't have been there at all before, and I thought, wow.
So there it was. That's
I'm very happy that we can.
Move stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about Prince William now and getting married? What's the scuttlebutt over there in England about that?
I think people are going to say it's good for the economy.
Is that good? Yeah, he's got Princess Diana.
Money passing. You know, people want souvenirs, mugs with Prince William and his wife on the front of it.
Well, you know what's really cool is they've been together 9 years. Officially 8. And that's a longer relationship than his dad ever had with anybody.
Gosh, yes. Yeah.
So it's a young generation starting to show a little bit of discipline and appreciation, you know, for the opposite sex rather than treating him like Diana was treated, you know.
So this, yeah, I think it's,
I
very
think
sad
it's
about how
monarchy, I really do, just being off subject, but I think it's really good for the monarchy to have Prince William. And I think it would be good if Hollywood would take a look at this because over here, the divorce rate in Hollywood and around here is insane, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that some good old-fashioned English monarchy might be actually setting precedent for the way people should behave, whether they can behave when these two young kids meet in college, stay together almost a decade before they even get engaged. I think that's a pretty good show of the way the family unit should be, and I think they're going to have some great children. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some kind of aspect of Diana. You know, everybody sort of thought she was a very caring individual.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just imagine that Prince Charles couldn't have been as caring as we would like him to be.
Right.
But, you know, just assume that Prince William has inherited that certain quality from Princess Diana that, you know,
we'll keep
our fingers crossed about that.
Yeah, well said. I never even thought about it that way. Well said. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Steve?
I think that he's a good kid. I mean, he's smart. I think that he really took his time, and I think the marriage will really work, and hopefully they'll have some wonderful children.
Now, what about Harry, the younger brother? How's he doing? Is he in the news at all or not?
Well, I see photographs of him and people talking about him being actually the son of one of Princess Diana's lovers.
Really?
I can't remember what this... Well, it's rather disgusting, really. But in a certain chat that Princess Diana was well known to have a relationship with, and it just so happened that Prince Harry has ginger hair just like this man did.
Oh,
but
really?
I've noticed over the years that Prince Harry looks more and more like Prince Charles, so I'm hopeful that he's actually Prince Charles' son.
So in other words, they think he's a kid out of wedlock.
Yes, people do think that, but, you know, that's the magazines just wanting to create that story to fill the magazines.
Yeah, because we don't get that news in America. I have to talk to one of the locals like you who calls in once in a while to get the true story.
I can't remember the name of the person. I could easily Google it tell you, but it's a rather nasty situation to create, and everybody keeps saying one these days they're actually going to announce that he's actually a certain person's son. But
yeah,
it's never.
Well, I know
the
tabloids over there are very brutal, and I know that they make.
Oh yeah.
You know, the National Enquirer over here look like something from the Saints.
Mm-hmm. They're already hounding Prince William's wife to be. You know, the press are just, I don't know, hanging around her like a pack of dogs.
Yeah. Well, she is a commoner. Mm-hmm. I know that. So are they playing up the fact? They're not playing that up here. But are they playing up the fact that she's a commoner over there or not?
No, I think she's very pretty. Hasn't done anything too weird. So they're saying, yeah, we want to, I think. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
If any kind of skeletons in the woodwork, that'll come out really soon.
So we're going to make Dominic our reporter at large for the English continent over there, English Isle, the British Isles.
Yeah.
Good to hear all this information. These are, you know, watching the American news, I know that we slant everything here. And obviously you've just pointed out a couple slants. Because when I lived in Europe, what I got from BBC was way different than we get from over here. Very good. Carry on, you know, as we say in England, right? Jolly good.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go now.
Yeah, it's good hearing. I'm glad we got the royal update.
Yep.
Okay, cheerio. Bye.
Bye.
TTFN.
Bye.
Well, Steve, you see what time it is for me, don't you?
It's 8:47. Oh, yeah. Let me go get mine, too. I need to go get mine.
When are you going to be on the air so we can do a double camera thing, you know?
Oh, I'd love to do that, Fred. I just got to figure out how to do it. Maybe I get my brother to figure it out. He's living with me now, so maybe he can help me get that on the air. That'd be fun to do.
How's your girlfriend doing?
She's doing okay. She's
coming
doing
back
okay.
On the show again or not?
Actually, she's just a friend.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have her back on. I'll talk to her. Maybe I can have her on next week.
Yeah, we need some more in drama and in energy, you know. She sure
yep.
had a lot of that.
Yeah, she's got a lot of that. She's wonderful.
Does she hang out in your your healing room?
No, not really. I mean, she does once in a while, you know, we'll get together and we'll meditate, but you know, we're so busy, Fred. It's pretty hard to get together sometimes. She travels and does shows. And
what kind of shows?
Psychic shows.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's very, very good psychically.
Well, she's a good
really,
reader.
Really good. So I'll give her a call, see if I can get her on the show next week.
Yeah, that'd be good. We need to send her back.
Yeah, she's really sweet. Very nice person.
Go ahead and get your Shawoozy.
Yeah, hold
nearby?
On. Hold on. Yeah, it's about 10 feet. Hold on.
Yeah, we're taking a break right now while Steve Barish, sidekick, is going to get his bottle of Shawoozy, which is polygala multiforme, or known as POTI, which removes radiation from your body and allows your brain to function very well. Yeah. And then we have to let him take a little shot of that and then give him a minute to assimilate it through his endocrine system, which goes very fast. And then he'll come back. You watch when he comes back on the air. He's going to be like, he's going to be really a brighter light. I hear him stepping it now, and he doesn't do this on camera like I do. So.
This is really, really good stuff.
Isn't it? You take a whole complete one-ounce shot?
Yep.
Got a bird chewing up my collar, having a ball. I got one of my Ivy League shirts on with little button-down collars.
Well, he drinks your Shawootsie, too.
He drinks it. He doesn't drink it tonight because I don't have the right glass. Actually, you know, let's see if he wants some.
Well, let's drink. Here's a toast to you.
Oh, there we go. Cheers.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby.
I've got this one and one more bottle left.
About time for you to order. I'll see if Buddy wants some.
Yeah.
Buddy's drinking it. Look at Buddy go.
Ah.
Love Shawootsie. Now, you want some too, Malibu?
It's good for you.
Yeah, he'll drink a bunch. But she won't drink anything. She's a teetotaler. Doesn't do any Shawootsie or even drink beer. He likes beer, too, but... Oh, you want some Shawootsie, honey? Bella won't even touch it.
Yeah.
Oh, look how he's wired now. He's down there chewing a button. Now he's just chewing my ear off. That's
yeah.
good stuff.
That's really good stuff.
Never do a radio show without a shot of this.
Yep.
It's not a drug. It's an herb. People think, oh, you're getting stoned on the show. I do herbs, but I do natural
yeah.
herbs, not the smoking kind. Oh, by the way, speaking of very funny, Arizona legalized marijuana last week.
Really?
Arizona, who kicks Mexicans out, has, you know, George, what's his name, oh, God, a show that comes on before Conan and after Conan. He is so funny. He did this thing about Mexicans the other night, which is saying he's Mexican. And
right. Oh, George Lopez or whatever?
Lopez. He says, we legalized the marijuana, but then we kicked all the Mexicans out. Because now we got to bring them back to raise the stuff. That's so cute. Because I have a huge Mexican staff here on the ranch. We've got. I'm trying to learn Spanish. It's so embarrassing because the Mexican folks that work for us out here do the feeding and the avocado picking and all the stuff they do here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tasks for a lot of folks. I can't. I'm having a real problem learning their language. It really sucks.
Because
I'm terrible at languages. But anyway, we love the Mexicans.
So anyway.
Now we got a state, before they legalized marijuana in Arizona, it was a no tolerance, meaning that if you got caught with less than an ounce, which is legal in California, you know, for a $100 fine, you know, if you got caught with less than an ounce in Arizona, you could spend 6 years or 7 years in jail.
Really?
Yeah. So they went from making it a felony to making it legal. Now, what happened over here in California... with Proposition 819, I think it was, is that the growers up in Big Sur, and I know a bunch of them because they use our products to grow their pot because our pyramids make it grow better and everything, and they fought the legalization of it. It was the actual pot growers that fought the legalization.
You're off the air.
And I think they won by 6%. And the growers up in Big Sur, and I know a bunch of them, as I said, are very wealthy and very powerful people. These guys are... Some of them are billionaires. And they've been doing it a long time. I know a few of them that made hundreds of millions of dollars over, you know, two or three, four decades.